No matter how much we may try to pretend as though we don't need to be in relationships with other people, I think history has just proven that human beings love falling in love. They love being taken care of. And I think there is a desire, an innate desire within a lot of us, where we want to take care of someone. We find fulfillment in serving someone within the context of an intimate relationship. I mention that because I'm thinking of the idea of love languages, which is our discussion for tonight, right? We're trying to understand if does understanding each other's love languages improve your relationship? And what does it even mean to have a love language? And is it not something that can be weaponized in a relationship where someone says, but it's my love language, whereas it's actually not their love language. They're just being selfish. And this is something that can absolutely happen, right? But we'll discuss that a bit later, where we come to an understanding where a love language needs to be something that we understand as we're doing it because we want to bless our partner, but at the same time, understanding that it can be used to sort of overwork you or to get you to be the person who always gives rather than the person who receives. And this is where we fail a lot as human beings, right? Where to strike the balance, right? Where we are, we look at the relationships that we're in and we come to understand that even though I have acknowledged your love languages and I am serving you as in the understanding that these are your touch or pressure points, these are the ways in which I can make you most happy and fulfilled, the other person has to also have that understanding. And there needs to be a balance as to who serves who. And there's a reason that I mentioned that, right? But let's get into understanding what exactly are love languages. Is it something that Hollywood has made up? Is it something that psychology has deemed to be true and unchangeable? And by unchangeable, what I mean is it is something that is just inherently within human beings. We're born with, or we learn as we grow up, and we just can't see a world, a space, a community, a society of individuals where love languages don't exist. So what is your understanding of a love language? And how would you define, or have you ever seen the idea of a love language being put into practice? Have you seen it between your friends? Do you see it within your parents, the way that they love each other? Do you see it in you? Like, do you know whether you have love languages or not? So to understand love languages, right, it is a way in which people feel that they communicate best in terms of how they function within a relationship. Now, this can cause, there's a lot, it raises a whole lot of questions. Like, I'm thinking about it as I'm mentioning it now. So let's talk about the five love languages that exist or that are deemed official, right? The official love languages of relationship, just like we have the 11 official languages here in South Africa. Love has these five languages, which are the official five languages. So you have words of affirmation, you have quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch, right? There are people who, when you give them words of affirmation, it really does a number on them. It revives them. It wakes them up. It's like being in a desert. So with each and every one of these individual love languages, to the person to whom it is important, it is like finding them in a desert and giving them a glass of water after having been there for like a week. And then you just give them not even a glass, but you give them like a 5-liter jug of water. It is refreshing, it revives, it restores, it gives life. And that's what the idea around these love languages. Now, if someone has or identifies a certain language as being their love language. It doesn't mean that they don't appreciate any of the other things. It's just that this is the most, what they're most sensitive to, or what they're most awakened by or revived by. So words of affirmation is when you affirm someone like, oh my goodness, you're so pretty, you're so smart, I love the way you walk, or I think that when you speak in public, you're very good at this, or you're very good at that, or the way that you interact with your family. Those are people who respond to such words of affirmation. You are affirming them. And then you get people who love spending quality time. Like when they are in a room with you, they don't want you to be sitting on your phone or playing some kind of video game or having your attention be elsewhere. They want you to be present in that moment. They want to be intimate. They want to, even though you know them and they know you, they want to continue getting to know repeatedly even the things that are old. These are the people who really find value in that quality time. And then you have receiving gifts. This one is pretty obvious, but obviously it's not just any gift. It's gifts that are meaningful. And this one is a bit tricky, right? Because you do get those people who love receiving gifts as a matter of just wanting some kind of class, or for other people to see that they have someone who buys them gifts. Then there are those who love receiving gifts as a matter of receiving special gifts. In other words, even if you made them a gift at home with whatever you have at your disposal, it tugs at a certain string within them, right? And then you have acts of service. Now, the interesting thing about acts of service is that there are people who really appreciate acts of service being done to them. And then you have those who are fulfilled by performing acts of service, doing acts of service to other people, serving them, washing their feet, making them breakfast in the morning, getting up and going to buy something if you need it, or if you need something to be fixed around the home, they get up and they fix that, and they doing it for you. They really get fulfilled by that. Or then there are those who get fulfilled by seeing those things being done for them. And then you obviously get physical touch, which is pretty self-explanatory. People who appreciate being touched, hugged, when having conversations with you, they'll touch your fingers and stroke you. Sometimes it's not even in a sexual way. Like, it's just in a way of being able to connect with you. They feel safe. They feel heard when you touch them and you make eye contact with them, right? So now that I'm obviously not delving into all the intricacies of these languages. We don't have enough time, but we just want to understand the dynamics of them and whether they can add quality and they can add some sort of depth to a relationship. So first of all, the answer is obviously yes. They definitely can improve the quality of a relationship when you understand them and you also understand how they work and the dynamics behind them. Here's what I mean. If you are a person who loves to give out acts of service and you find fulfillment in that, you might meet someone who does not find any value in having acts of service done for them. They actually appreciate quality time. And that's where there's a lot of clashing, right? That's where there's a lot of people tend to misunderstand, because when you think about the acts, five love languages, you would think that every individual needs these, like words of affirmation, who doesn't need them? Quality time, who doesn't need them? Receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch, who does not need any of these? But I kid you not, there are people who can do without acts of physical touch. There are people who can do without acts of service. What's more meaningful to them might be words of affirmation, telling me that I'm worth something, telling me that you're very good at this. It fuels them, you know, coming from a place of love and a place of true conviction. Quality time might matter to some one person than acts of service. Now, the thing that makes this complicated is also, I should also mention the fact that you might find multiple of these languages meaning being important to a single individual. So, for example, three of them might matter to one partner and only two of them to the other. Now, this is where you find that people maybe find themselves at loggerheads or perhaps not connecting. It's when you cannot understand why another individual does not find value, for example, in quality time, where they to them, what qualifies as quality time is, for example, going out in the wild and or going out fishing or watching a soccer game, or you just sitting next to them as they play the PlayStation game and you say nothing to each other. You don't even make eye contact. And I know that most of you are thinking of men, that he's talking about men. But believe it or not, this exists within women as well. Some women are just not quality time kind of people. They might be receiving gifts kind of people. Now, the point I'm trying to make in all of this is that we need to understand that just because you have certain love languages, it doesn't mean that the person you're going to meet with is going to have the same love languages. And the love languages that resonate with you will also resonate with them. And that's where maturity comes in. But also keeping in mind that just because it's not their most important love language, it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter to them to some degree. Right? That's a very important thing to understand. It just matters to them to a lesser extent than the others. What people sometimes tend to do is that whatever love language matters to me should also matter to you. Because why would you not value quality time? And I think sometimes in our minds, we look at these love languages as some being way more important than others. Now, I have to also make this, what is it called? I have to make the statement, right, that I'm not trying to say that love languages are the end all be all of all relationships. Like, if you don't get this right, then your relationship is doomed. Absolutely. This is not the Bible of successful relationships, understanding these five love languages. However, it does, if you are an individual who studies your partner and try to figure out what matters to them, it makes you a considerate human beings. I mean, perhaps human beings might be wrong. We might just not have only five love languages. You might find that there are others. I don't know. I'm not trying to say that they are. The point I'm trying to make is what matters most is for you to be a loving a human being and a person who tries to be considerate. Like, there are things that matter to your partner that might not matter to you, but it doesn't mean that that thing should generally be unimportant. It's a very, very difficult line or balance to strike. But with enough effort, you can definitely get it right. So the question I'm going to close with is this. What is your personal love language?
Will understanding each other's love languages improve your relationship? I'm a firm believer in understanding. Understanding, I need to say that you need to speak and you're unable to hear your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend's love language. The reason I'm saying I'm a firm believer in this is I do it very often when I do marriage counseling or premarital counseling. I speak to people and I find out whether they are actually clued up with regards to love languages. And then from there on, see if I can assist them in a way so that they can better understand it and better further their relationship. Now, I know by all, if I assume that you know the love languages at this stage, and they are called, there's five of them. They were made famous by a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman. And the first is obviously physical touch, touching the spouse or the person that you are dating. The second will be words of affirmation, saying beautiful things about them, positive things to them. The third will be acts of kindness. You wash the dishes, you take out the laundry, whatever the case might be. Then the fourth will be quality time. Quality time sitting, watching movies, and whatever the case might be. And the fifth and final one will then obviously be gifts. You like to buy them gifts and shower them with gifts in order for them to feel loved. The reason you need to know this is that this might be very difficult for you if you're dating or marrying someone and they are used to receiving love or seen in their household, how their mom received love, and now they feel that you are not speaking their love language. They perhaps don't even know of things such as love languages. But the fact that you are not speaking it makes it very difficult for them, in order for them to have a relationship with you or to feel that you are loved by them. Now, interesting, I feel it's furthered my relationship because I realize with my wife that she gives me gifts, but she does not want to receive gifts in order for her to feel loved. Right, my wife wants quality time and physical touch. Now, I know people obviously think physical touch and they immediately go to sex or sexual intercourse or anything like that, which it is not. Physical touch is so much more than that. It means like walking in the mall and you're just holding hands, kissing her hi and bye when you leave or when you arrive home. That is all part of physical touch, and that is all part of the way that people may perceive love. Now, the difficulty in that is that you might be married to someone that does not have that, but they don't realize that what you are saying is, I love you, just in a very, very different way. When my wife speaks to me and she's actually encouraging me and telling me that how capable I am of being a parent and how capable I am in what I do with my life and with my children, that is the best way for me to be motivated in and to reach for the stars. It's also shown me that is when she realizes that I'm my love tank is empty and she needs to fill it up. The same is true with my wife, with me speaking to her in that sense. That's the only way that she's able to actually then hear that and feel that I actually love her. Now, the funny thing is, in the beginning of our relationships, in the beginning of our married life, I was saying I love her by acts of kindness. Whenever she came home, the kitchen was clean and the laundry was washed and folded and put away. And when she didn't thank me for that, I felt like this woman is just using me. She got married and I got a husband and a servant in that sense. And then I actually confronted her and she's like, she didn't even notice it because she's just so frustrated with me that's always doing busy work in the house and never spending time with her and not sitting with her and watching TV or whatever the case might be. And I realized that this is something vastly different. She's got a different approach and she needs me to do something different. My wife don't necessarily always even see the dirty dishes, but she feels unloved when I'm not close to her. So leave the dirty dishes and spend time with my wife. Now, the interesting thing is that one of the greatest quality times that we can spend together, and it's actually us coming together and realizing that we are living the life that we need to live and both of our love tanks are being filled, is by us making tea. I make tea for my wife, and it's one of the acts of kindness that I can do towards her. But we are sitting and having a proper conversation while we're waiting for the kettle to boil, and afterwards we're waiting for the tea to draw. So while the bag is steeping in, we actually have this quality conversations and we can share and think and talk about stuff. And that is one of the great ways that we have connected in a bit different way. Whenever I do premarital counseling and I bring up the love languages, I've noticed quite often that people, that you can see it's this penny drop moment. They realize like, oh my hat, I'm not speaking my spouse's love language. I'm not approaching the way that they need to be approached. And even though I love them, they're not feeling loved currently. And that is something that is of vital importance. And I believe that if you want to further your relationship, you need to understand the five love languages.